Mullinger's Weekly Ramble.
It is Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024, and it's time for this. Mullinger's Weekly Ramble with me, James Mullinger, rambling. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all so much for the messages you've sent me in the past week, the questions you've sent me. We have a record number of questions this week on the fifth ever episode. Lots of questions. I guess I put it out there that I would answer anything at all. Could be medical, could be personal, could be emotional, could be sexual, could be anything you will. And my God, you went for it. So we have about 30 questions to get through from people varying in from the quite personal to the graphic to the explicit. It's still a PG-rated show, so don't worry. This is still safe to listen to at work. But my word, some of you have very, very kindly opened up quite a lot. And to be honest, the fact that you have shared these things that you're going through with me genuinely means a lot to me. I think I've conveyed on this podcast before how much I love doing this, how grateful I am to all of you for listening, but also just how cathartic I find this. As I believe I've probably said before, therapy is very expensive, and at some points in life, some things have got to go. And so I really am very grateful to all of you for being my people and for being here for me. I hope you all had a great Easter. And was that the first time in a long time that April Fool's Day and Easter Monday were on the same day? An amazing thing. Amazing thing. Who knows what that means? There were some very good April Fools being played. I loved hearing my wife hearing the news that Toronto Pearson Airport was going to be renamed Mississauga Airport. I thought we missed a trick here in St. John, not having the old French Village Airport announcement, or Loch Lomond Village, or you know, I don't know, South Duck Pond, whatever it is, West St. Martin's, I don't know. Next year, there we go. There's a joke for next year. Monday this week, lots of businesses were closed, lots were open. I was in the morning, went for a nice family walk, and then we all sat down to watch my appearance on The Good Stuff with Mary Berg, which what an absolute joy. So I filmed that last week, and I think, as you know, I recorded last week's episode of this in Toronto, and I couldn't say yet that was happening. So now I can. I hope some of you watched it. I know, because you've messaged me and you've left very nice messages. If not, you can go and watch it online now on CTV On Demand, The Good Stuff with Mary Berg. I was on her wonderful show on Monday talking about life in the Maritimes, moving here. It was like our first kind of full interview on a kind of a national, nationally broadcast show, I believe. And it was you know, I'll be honest, I found it quite nerve-wracking. I love doing live TV. I love doing shows like The Social. But with that, obviously, you're talking about things that aren't necessarily yourself. I was aware going into this was going to be an interview about me and my life and my move here. And I'll be honest, I'd learned something quite weird recently. Every time I have a trip to take, like a big trip for a TV show appearance, like a big gig, I always get sick. Like I always get a cold or something beforehand. And I'm always saying to my wife, oh my God, why am I getting these flu-y symptoms? And she was like, are you sure it's not like in your brain? Are you sure it's not nerves? I'm like, well, that's physically impossible. How can I like wish like a sore throat or fever onto myself before a trip? And then I started to realize it might actually be in my head, because I go to these places and I'm full of just like nerves and anxiety and riddled with kind of like just weakness and fear, I guess, fear and nerves. It's because I want it to go well. I'm so desperately want it to go well. It's not just nerves. It's I don't know. It's really, really caring. And I was thinking, you know, I really do care about my work. I always want it to be good. Anyway, and invariably, what always happens is I get to the place I'm going. I do the thing I'm there to do, whether it's a huge show or a TV recording or what taping or a meeting, whatever it is. And then the second it's over, I feel completely fine. And that's it. And not just fine, like amazing, like on a ridiculous high. I mean, I know some of this is like the ADHD, like dopamine releases and those highs and lows. Anyway, all of that is to say, I hope you all had a wonderful, that was, and then I went to Garden Grove Cafe in the afternoon, had a glass of wine, read a book, a wonderful book, actually, my mum had recommended to me, called Love in Old Age by Hunter Davies. Beautiful book about Hunter Davies, who's like 85 years old, who his wife tragically passed. And a few years later, he met someone. And during COVID, they decided to leave London and buy a cottage on the Isle of Wight in England, or a beautiful island off the south coast, I'm guessing. Anyway, and it's all about how at 85 in a new relationship, they buy a cottage to do it up. I mean, absolutely incredible, like the stamina of this guy, of this couple doing this. Also just very moving and wonderful. Saturday night, I watched, went to see Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire at the cinema with my kids. A lot of critics, I always feel like I'm complaining about critics, but a lot of critics complained that it was a rehash of the first movie. Fine by me, loved the first movie. Was very excited to be reliving the first movie. Really enjoyed it. I also, forgive me if I did talk about Roadhouse last week on the podcast, but Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor, oh my word, watched it weekend before last, blown away at just how fun it was, and then told Pam about it and watched it again. I think it's the first time I've watched a 2-hour movie in full without distractions, like not looking at my phone, twice in 1 week, possibly in years, possibly since, like, I don't know, Pulp Fiction came out. So obviously, there's criticisms of this movie. It's like, oh, you know, you can't remake a classic. Well, yes, Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, 1989, was a classic. However, no one thought so at the time. Terrible reviews, terrible box office, was nominated for every Razzie going, like worst actor, worst script, worst everything. It is a classic. Patrick Swayze is a hero. The late Patrick Swayze, who's also a good friend of Jake Gyllenhaal, because, of course, they appeared in Donnie Darko together. But I found the new Roadhouse update just a remarkably entertaining. I had no idea it was going to be quite so entertaining, how quite committed they were going to be just to making the funnest, trashiest action movie ever. And Conor McGregor, everyone's like, oh, we can't act. No, he doesn't need to. He absolutely eats up the screen. Highest paid debutant in a Hollywood movie in history. I don't know what he got paid, like $5, $10 million. Peanuts compared to a fight that he... Anyway, thought it was great. So that's my movie recommendations. In Easter, very, very lovely. I hope your kids enjoyed their Easter hunts. It was always a big deal for us. Like, we like to make a big deal of that. Although, as my wife pointed out, the kids suddenly, when they go off on the Easter hunt, having the Easter bunny visited and distributed the eggs, the kids are suddenly like just military SAS experts in finding stuff, when any other time of day or night you ask them to find, you know, a pair of trunks that they dropped walking up the stairs, or a missing sock, or the shoes that they walked in the door with from school the day before. They cannot find, completely mystified, cannot find anything. Suddenly loads of chocolate eggs dotted about. Absolute SAS military precision, bang up, no stone left unturned to shovel as much chocolatey deliciousness into their gobs. Easter hunt literally proof that kids can find things, they just choose not to. Next week is the solar eclipse. Exciting. I'm so excited to be headed to Florenceville, Bristol to see the solar eclipse and then perform on stage in a huge arena there with Colonel Chris Hadfield, the legend, the hero, the icon. It's so exciting because, I mean, the only solar eclipse I've ever somewhat witnessed was in total solar eclipse. The last one that happened in the UK was in 1999, which is said to have been one of the most viewed solar eclipses due to its, like, it, the fact that it fell on areas of high population density. Of course, there were places that were really great to see it. I believe I travelled my family to Cornwall to see it. But of course, in classic English fashion, hardly anyone saw it due to the fog and clouds covering everything. And so we'd all invested all this money, and the government invested money in these solar eclipse glasses, and don't look too. And actually, our eyes were completely protected thanks to the fog and the clouds that completely obscured it. Absolute diabolical visibility. But on Monday, April the 8th, next week, Canada, well, again, I mean, obviously it's parts of the US and Mexico and Canada are going to experience this very, very rare total eclipse. Pretty much goes from like the west coast of Mexico all the way up to Newfoundland and Labrador. So it's a huge deal. It's massive. Like, to put it this way, the next partial, so I guess there'll be a partial eclipse in England on that date. But when it comes to total solar eclipses, England, I believe, is going to have to wait a lot long, like something like another 80 years or something absolutely ridiculous. Literally, yeah, like it's like it's once in a lifetime stuff. So I cannot wait. I've been working around the clock on a very special show / presentation for the beautiful people of Florenceville Bristol, Carlton North, and indeed the people traveling from all over the world who are coming to Florenceville Bristol because it's the best place to view it. It's absolutely staggering that this thing is happening here. It's so exciting. All the hotels are full. The restaurants are going to be full. The business is going to be booming. The Carlton North are doing such a good job making this a special event. And yeah, I'm literally tailoring a show. Essentially, what I'm making my show about is it's essentially a live comedic presentation on why, A, obviously, we're very, very blessed that this thing is happening. This incredible once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is happening in New Brunswick. And also, basically, my love of this place, but specifically that region. I'm going all in. I'm writing kind of like tons of new material about specifically Florenceville, Bristol, the place, kind of to appeal to the people who are there visiting for the first time, who maybe don't know the place and have come there to see the solar eclipse. It's like, come for the solar eclipse, but stay for National French Friday or Potato World or the Shamrock train carriages. So I'm really trying to just highlight my love of that place, that region, with lots of laughs on the way, with full respect given and admiration given to Colonel Chris Hadfield, and really just celebrate the fact that this is, as I say, a once-in-a-lifetime moment that we're all going to get to experience together. And that's on Monday night. And then right before that, I'm going to see the Maple Leafs play the Canadiens this Saturday night in Montreal, taking the bus, party bus, with my son and father-in-law. So it's been great. Yes. I mean, it's busy all week. I got a script to finish, by the end of today. Got a few meetings about the tour coming up. And in addition to, anyway, quite a few deadlines. Next issue with a mag to work on, then off to Montreal, see the show, come back, get dropped off in Florenceville, Colonel Chris Hadfield. And then the next day, Candice Bushnell is here in St. John, writer of Sex and the City. Huge Sex and the City fan. My wife and I, was probably one of our favourite shows when we first started dating in the year 2000. And, again, it's not cool to like anymore. We still like it. There you go. You can't always like what's cool, you know? You can't always just like what's cool. Don't be a wanker. Like what you like. If you enjoy something, like it. Don't let anyone else tell you. I hate that phrase, guilty pleasure. I don't feel remotely guilty about, I mean, a guilty pleasure would be like, I don't know, being a serial killer. If you like to murder and you get great pleasure from it, you should feel guilty. Ironically, they are the only people that will not feel guilty about that. But I hate people go, oh yeah, I like that. I like that shit movie. It's a guilty pleasure. Don't feel guilty about it. If it gives you pleasure and it harms nobody else, enjoy it. It's a guilty pleasure. Drinking myself into oblivion. It's a guilty pleasure. Don't feel guilty. Okay, I have about 30 odd questions here from all of you. So we're going to get cracking. Let's do this. Ian Johnson, wonderful man, lives in Charlotte County, works for the beautiful people at the Ganong Factory, or certainly did. I believe you still do. Ganong Factory and organization is an amazing thing because, A, obviously, world-class chocolate, and it's just amazing that, you know, some of the best candy and treats in the world are made right here in our province. But also, that there's people all over the country and world eating it, not knowing that it's from this place necessarily. But also that as an organization, just hires so many people from all over the world, as well as providing tons of employment opportunities for people within New Brunswick. Got a lot of respect for that. Ian has a question. I know that we should never compare our previous to current residences, but what stuff, activities, food, etc., do you wish you could do have be more readily available here? Good question. I've said this before, but I mean, the number one thing I have to say I miss is British pubs. And when I say number one, I mean, it is pretty much the only thing. The atmosphere of a British pub, like what you see in shows like Coronation Street or any, you know, any soap opera, British people walking into the local booze, all right, mate, usual, is it? Yeah, lovely. Take a, you know, no, it wouldn't be take a seat because no one brings you a pint. So I hate about British pubs in Canada, in Toronto, when it's like, yeah, take a table, I'll bring you a menu. No. It's not a British pub. If you're doing table service with a smile, not a British pub, right? If it's a bag of pork scratchings and a punch up, now you're talking. Keep it proper. But just the atmosphere in a British pub, walking in, the smell, the sight, the history, the authenticity. I miss that vibe. And I feel very blessed. I mentioned on Easter Monday, I got on my bike and I cycled to Garden Grove Cafe with a book and had a glass of wine. That's when Garden Grove Cafe opened in Rossay. That was a godsend. That's my local British pub. Obviously, it's a lot fancier and a lot smarter and nicer and beautiful decor and friendly staff and, you know, beautiful food, classy food. Best Donairs in the world, by the way. Actually, main reason I was cycling there was for a Donair. And I got there and lo and behold, alas, they just sold out. That's how bloody good they are. So a nice chicken curry wrap instead. So stuff and activities. So I missed that. I mean, children's play centres in the UK were a lot more plentiful. Oh, you know what else I did this weekend? Sorry, this is something that I used to miss, but now it's here. I went to Carney Island. Carney Island in St. John. It's where Office Outfitters used to be. And it's next to where Mr. Music used to be and where that kind of big buffet for you used to be, opposite Walmart, down from Value Village. Oh, absolute a joy. They've got the old coin machines, what they called, the coin sliding machines. We had hours of fun in there. Every single arcade game that we all used to play as kids, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man. There's a Terminator 2 shooting game that I used to love playing. There's a WWF wrestling game when it was known as WWF before the Wildlife Federation kicked off and all the pandas said, no, The Rock can't call himself this. Only pandas can be WWF. You need to be WWE. Anyway, Carney Island, head there, absolute blast I had there. So, and for the most part, I would say there's not a huge amount that I miss. There's people, British pubs, food. I suppose, I mean, as much as I've grown to, obviously, as you know, grown to love Donairs, but Doner kebabs I do miss. I mean, that's really, not that I could have carried on living like this when I lived there, but when I go home, there's nothing I like more than, you know, an afternoon, evening in the pub, doner kebab on the way home. But again, you know, I to be honest, I was so burnt out and busy and stressed and working all the time that I rarely ever did that when I was living there. So now it's kind of a treat when I go back and I see my friends and we do it once a year. I was not doing it. Wasn't doing it once a week. Wasn't doing it once a month. Wasn't barely even going to pubs. I mean, I worked in pubs, like doing stand-up occasionally. But so the reality is that my life as it is now is way better, obviously, and more fulfilling than it could have ever been in London, because in London, yeah, I never got to do any of those fun things. But actually here I do have time to. Foods, I mean, I love Marmite, but I have Marmite here. And I do just love British. There are British treats that I miss. But again, you know, Monster Munch, Watsits. But again, I couldn't be eating them all the time. So those would be the things. And then certain words that you can say in England that you can't say here. And I think you know which word I mean. Words here that are deemed very offensive. But in England, it's just a term of endearment. It's a friendly term. So I hope that answers your question. Sarah has asked a similar question. Don't you wish they had proper jam donuts here, like the ones we used to get on the High Street Bakery or Waitrose? That powder seems wrong. Yeah, I mean, Sarah, you're absolutely spot on. There's your answer in. I mean, those donuts, a proper jam donut, I've never had that here. There's a lot of treats. Sausage rolls is another one. I know you do get sausage rolls here in Canada, but Greg's the Baker, there's something I miss, Ian. Greg's the Baker. So to Sarah's point, I mean, all the jam donuts, sausage rolls, all those kind of things you could get, scotch egg, that done proper. But again, if I'd stayed there, I had to rein it in. I was going a bit mad. Carla, next question, very similar. Besides family, what have you missed the most since moving to Canada? The pub thing is it, and it's walking to stuff. Walking to stuff is, I loved walking out of my house, being able to walk to, you know, a pub, some shops. I don't understand the town planning where things are all spread out here. And like, I don't get, like, you know, you look at a town like, I mean, Sussex has got it nailed and St. Andrews has got it nailed. But you look at a town like Rossay where you have to drive to each point. Like, why isn't all the kind of, like, wouldn't it be nice if, like, the cafes and the little shops and the things that, it'd be kind of grouped together. So it's kind of like a high street, you know, rather than kind of a strip malls dotted about randomly. So kind of like walking to stuff is the thing that I miss most. And I do go for a lot of walks, but I'm basically just walking from my house and then back to somewhere and then back. Giorgio Paulin, it's lovely to hear from you, my friend. Do I like any anime outside of the Miyazaki stuff? I mean, I do. I mean, I love, you know, like, I went to see Boy and the Heron a few weeks ago, I think I mentioned that. So, I mean, I do love all of those movies. I've seen most of the Studio Ghibli movies over the years. Interesting fact that Troma, my favourite film company, founded by Laurie Kaufman, a good friend of mine, if you want to listen to a podcast where I interviewed him. Actually, this came up in it. He distributed My Neighbor. Is it My Neighbor Totoro or Totoro? I've never known this. I think it's Totoro. My Neighbor Totoro. Troma distributed My Neighbor Totoro first in the United States. And then someone else, Disney or someone, came along and took all the credit. But I do like anime. I went to see Belle at the cinema when it was on. So I will often go and see anime stuff. Demon Slayer, went to see that at the cinema. I think I went twice to see that. So I do. I like almost anything. And I go through phases of watching stuff. And also pretty much like whatever my kids are like or into, that's what I'm watching. Sandra Smith, will you be part? I'll have a sip of coffee if you don't mind. Thank you. Oh, I should point out, this podcast today, April the 3rd, once you've listened to this, if you still are listening to it, go and check out Canadian Politics is Boring. Reese Waters and Jesse's amazing podcast. Absolutely brilliant. Reese, Welsh guy from the UK, moved to the Maritimes, similar story to my own. Their podcast, Canadian Politics is Boring, is hilarious. I am on tomorrow talking about the infamous Pablo Escobar incident, where Pablo Escobar's plane load of cocaine was crashed in New Brunswick. And it led to the most insane series of events you have ever heard. You will not believe this has not become a movie. You may remember this from a feature in the Maritime Minute magazine called Narcos Fredericton. Best headline ever. Hats off, Lindsay Vautour. And yeah, have a listen. Sandra Smith, will you be part of a comedy show festival, i.e. the Imperial Theatre, with other local comedians in the near future? I am at the Imperial Theatre in a few weeks, on the 27th of April, performing my greatest hits show, ironically named. So my best kind of 100 minutes of material. So if you've come to see me multiple times in the last few years, this probably won't contain much material that you haven't already heard. But equally, there's going to be material from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago. I'm basically just every, you know, 2, 3, 4 nights a week right now going and doing work in progress shows, doing all my old stuff and seeing what works. So I have no shows coming up with any other local comedians. I hope that happens soon. But I do have to, one of the things that I try and manage is, since I moved here, I take great pleasure in doing these shows at the Imperial Theatre, and I'm so grateful to people coming out. But I would say I probably do, I turn down about 80% of stuff I get asked to do within the immediate vicinity, because I'm well aware of the fact that if people get sick of you, your career is over. Like, there's no coming back from that. The second that people, I'm sure there's plenty of you, I mean, I'm assuming if you're 25 minutes into listening to my podcast, you might not be sick of me yet, you might be shortly, but people can get sick of people, and especially entertainers and performers. And if you are there at every single, you know, ribbon cutting, shop opening, event, blah, 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 will you host this? Will you MC this? People get bloody sick of you bloody quickly. And I saw it coming after, when I first moved here, and I said yes to too much stuff. Said yes to hosting the ECMAs, big mistake. Said yes to multiple gigs, and it all just came at once, and my face was on posters all over the city, and people started understandably graffitiing them, sticking pins in the faces, eyes of them, although that did, to be fair, turn out to be my kids doing that. But I would love to do a lot more in the place I live, but I live in immense, I don't want to ever have to move away. And so my fear, paranoia is constantly trying to manage that thing of making sure that people don't get bored and sick of you and then having no work here at all. So for that reason, I'm very cautious with what I do, and it's why I have to unfortunately decline most of what I do. But it also means that the stuff that I do is very much designed and catered to be as great as it can possibly be. And that's why I put so much work and effort into these Imperial Theatre shows every year, and indeed fundraisers. Okay, next question, Brian McCarthy. It was not a question. I felt, right, now I've said you, Brian McCarthy, thank you. Sounds like a bit egotistical me reading this out, but you said seeing your interview today on Mary Berg was awesome. Thank you, Brian. That's very kind. I was, as I mentioned, terrified, and I'm so happy it went well, and people seem to enjoy it. And if anyone's listening and would like to see it, it's easy to find on demand, or go to my Facebook page. Lynn Rika. Lynn, how are you? She's asked a very thoughtful question. If I could go to the moon, would I? I have to say no. Scared of heights. Although I'm aware that obviously it's not, I mean, it's high, but it's not, obviously it's high. But it's not going to be scary like it is climbing a ladder. But no, I don't think I would appreciate it. I think they should send someone who would do something useful there. Would I do the world's first comedy gig on the moon? Yeah. If that was conceived, arranged, organized, and I was asked to be the first, yeah, I would do that. I'd risk my life for that. But yeah, it would need to be comedy related. Otherwise, I'd just be getting in someone else's way. Tom Hasselman has rightly said, we need to bring the Great Outdoors Comedy Festival to New Brunswick. Know anyone who could lead the charge and make that happen? And he very kindly says, coughs, James Manager name under my breath, who could also headline? What would be the ideal location in your opinion? Well, I don't know if I could headline, because they have very, very big names do this. And that would make sense, because that's what brings people out. I went to the Great Outdoors Comedy Festival last year to see Bill Burr. It's absolutely phenomenal experience. The organizers do an amazing job. It's utterly bizarre quite how well organized it was, and obviously by all accounts is all over the country. Of course, this year they're bringing Nate Bargatze, they're bringing Tom Segura, one of those comedians I absolutely adore. As Nate Bargatze. I absolutely love him. Thomas Segura, very popular. A great comedian. Not my cup of tea. But yeah, it does need, it should come to New Brunswick. There are many locations it could be. I mean, not least the Kingsbury Amphitheatre, where they would already have the amphitheatre all set up and you could have people going all the way up the hill. So you could easily have the 5,000-10,000 people needed to make these things work with the kind of fees that the performers are asking for. Because make no mistake, you know, the Seinfelds and whoever else, they're getting their full whack, you know, which would be, for any one of these performers, I would estimate upwards of $250,000, I would guess, for an hour on stage. So who could lead the charge? Ray Gracewood, Darcy LeBlanc, basically the people, brains behind and the geniuses behind Area 506. They could make that happen. I would not be in the leading the charge. I would obviously be here to help promote anyway. I couldn't lead the charge. Not leading, but just basically not drowning amongst the stuff that I already am doing means that I couldn't take on anything else. However, if I was asked to MC or open one of those gigs, I would absolutely jump at the chance and would love to. And I'd promote it any way I could, but I'm not sure I could lead the charge. You need someone that is adept and well-versed in that, and indeed local politics and all that stuff. So I would say Ray and Darcy would be, and interestingly, Mitch has asked a question. Do you have a comedy rival who's another comedian you've worked with that you enjoy a good back and forth on stage? Meaning roasting, I'm assuming. Mitch, very kindly, was the man. If it wasn't for Mitch, I would never have seen Bill Burr live. It's thanks to Mitch I got to experience the Great Outdoors Comedy Festival. So God bless you, Mitch. You are a very kind and wonderful man. Yes, I mean, the comedian I love to roast, I love to go at it with on stage and off is Derek Singer. The Montreal-based, Brossard, Quebec-based comedian, currently touring all over the Canada. Highest ever number of wins on The Debaters. Arguably, he's one SiriusXM's top comic. And I would say he is one of Canada's all-time top greatest comics. Absolutely hilarious. So yeah, Derek would be the one that I enjoy roasting. I mean, I had lots of friends in the UK I would enjoy that with. Andrew Doyle, we had a great time. Some of that is captured on film, online. But yeah, I would say Derek is the one where if we're in a club in Montreal on a Friday night and we've been out together the night before, the two of us will basically just be telling stories from the night before, tearing strips off each other. The audience loves it. We love it. And anything can happen. Joss Mullinger, my father, has asked the question, what is your favourite dad joke with your sons? Good question. I am constantly bugging them with stupid jokes. I do take great pleasure in any time I think of something stupid to say, I will say it is almost like a dad's job. My dad used to say it to me. It's dad's job to come up with these stupid dad jokes. And I do that. And I'll have a think. And you know what? I've got there's a joke book here. Let me pull out. A stupid dad joke. Here we go. Well, one that we do is, this is one that we often do to each other. Always know where it's going, but we always love to do it. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the moron's house. Knock, knock. There you go. That's the answer. Me and the kids basically roast each other. That is one of the things that I have to say that I have either taught them or Canadian culture has taught them. It is how to take abuse, i.e. roasting, not child abuse. No one has been trying to teach us how to take abuse, roasting each other. But verbal roasting, it's not spit. Anyway. Alan McLeod, thank you, Alan. What has been your biggest surprise about Canada or Canadian culture? I guess, well, Canadian culture, there was some, given the awful job Canada does, or indeed the rest of the world does, at celebrating Canadian artists. I.e., you know, growing up, my favourite actor was John Candy. As a teenager, my favourite actor would have been Jim Carrey. You know, never did I hear that these amazing icons were Canadian. Similarly, I just posted a video on Instagram with Jonathan Torrens talking about Trailer Park Boys and how it was created, how his friend Mike created it. And what is absolutely bizarre is the number of comments from people who didn't realise it was Canadian. Many people also not realising that Jonathan Torrance is the same actor that is in Letterkenny. So that's always interesting seeing people. But it's interesting, the surprise is, and this video has got so many, like 1.5 million views. And how sad that people are watching and loving this show and not realising that it's Canadian. So Canadians, we need to be more proud and louder about what we have here. Oh, and Richard has replied to Alan, the many places where Zellers used to be. That it was certainly a surprise, yeah. How many pairs of shoes do I... Linda Hammond has kindly asked. Linda Hammond has asked, how many pairs of shoes do I go through in a year? Wondering, due to your pacing on stage, it's a good question. Watching me is... Valerie agrees, that is a good one. Valerie Ann Marshall, thank you. I do pace constantly. I move up and down. Part of it stems from an energy. I like everyone in the audience to feel involved. So what I try and do is use every corner of the stage. So I've kind of, in theory, made eye contact with everyone in an audience. It was definitely born out of that style of me pacing around was born out of when I first started out and would do open spots, and I'd be sitting in the back of the room waiting to go up, and comic after comic would be absolutely bombing, just coming up and not really having any energy or presence, but launching into just horrible or highly offensive, like, I don't know, rape jokes or things like, just without any kind of context or understanding or warming up the audience, and it would just be this kind of awkward. So it became a thing I would do, was I would run up on stage and treat these tiny little pub stages like it was an arena stage and just go, okay, you've all come up for a night out. Every comedian here is just coming up and saying the most offensive thing they can think of and not delivering with any passion or energy. So I'm going to do the complete opposite. And that's what... Yeah, so sorry, how many pairs of shoes do I go through in a year? And people have often asked me to wear a Fitbit to see how many steps I do, because I'm aware that watching me on stage is a bit like watching Wimbledon tennis. It's like, will he stand still? John Lewis, what joke did you come up with that you thought was going to be super funny but was a total miss? Best, worst example. It would have to be, back when my kids were constantly watching YouTube videos of kids opening toy boxes, it used to drive me mad. I'm like, this is not television. How on earth can someone call this TV? Children just opening up Thomas the Tank Engine boxes or opening Kinder Eggs. So I tried to come up with a joke where essentially what I was trying to get at is that it's like child porn. Like, we've all got... Not child porn, sorry. Sorry, not child porn. Bear with me. Don't immediately turn off this buzzer. Not too much. It's basically like porn in that, bear with me, in that, I guess my point, how did the joke go? Well, you can see now why it didn't bloody work. My point of it was that I would criticize the kids for watching this crap. I'm like, why are you watching someone open something that you will never have? So I was like, it's better like porn for kids. You know, adults watch... You know, like, we've all got, and I'm like, yeah, because I would say to the kids, why are you playing with that? Why are you watching someone opening that box with that toy in it? You've got that toy. That toy is upstairs in the loft. Why don't you go and play with the toy? I want to watch someone else play with it. Why? So I was like, oh, well, we've all got a toy upstairs, but, and that sounds quite misogynistic, but it's not supposed to mean that the woman is a toy. It could be a woman about a man. We've all got something upstairs we can play with, but sometimes you want to watch someone else's get unwrapped. You can get the analogy I was trying to make, that essentially kids, I thought it was idiotic, the kids were watching things being unwrapped. And I was trying to equate it to porn. You can see why it didn't work. I tried it night after night after night. Occasionally it would almost land. Just when I thought I had it, wouldn't work. Had to retire it. And now you see why. Evelyn McNulty, my dear friend, who would be my dream interview. Well, you one day, I think, would have to be someone I would love to learn way more about, how someone chooses to devote their life to saintliness and goodness and just kindness. So, Evelyn, it would be you. Patricia, what do I miss most about England? I think I've mentioned that with the British pubs all the way. If you could handpick any Canadian to be Prime Minister and lead this great country, who would you pick? That's from Kathy Taylor. Good question. I mean, someone that genuinely loves the country, like Rick Mercer or Jonathan Torrens, would be my choice to be Prime Minister. Basically, anyone but what's going on right now. Savra Berman, being a New Brunswicker, when can we expect you to be a certified bilingual? Very fair question. I will work on it. I will work on it. How do you manage to get past fear nerves? I Chelsea Caldwell Pash, thank you very much. I do get terrible nerves. I mean, obviously what overcomes it mainly is the knowledge that you've done this 1,000 times before. So that is very helpful. Just the cycle of repetition of doing things over and over. But yeah, last week when I got to the Mary Berg show, we'll be completely honest, I was so nervous, I felt like fevery, and then my mouth was so dry, and I kept saying that kind of I drank gallons and gallons of water. Now obviously once you get out there and you get going, the audience is laughing and she's laughing, you're into it, but it can be crippling. But you just also remind yourself that this is what you literally live to do. So how bad can it be? What's Canadian food that you think is overrated? I must admit, I do love it, or used to, but poutine definitely isn't worth the sweat and same day food hangover that it gives you. Charlotte Flewelling, literally St. John icons and legends, said their name a billion times correctly, but suddenly we're live and I can't say it. Charlotte Flewelling. Best and worst advice given to you and how you overcame it. How to pronounce your surname, and I haven't overcome it yet. I've been given lots of advice. One was Jimmy Carr, when I asked him very early on in comedy. I do apologize for butchering your surname, by the way. I know how that feels. My surname has been butchered a billion different ways. For the record, I do know how to say your surname very clearly in normal conversation. I think I'm just nervous now. Best and worst advice given to me. I asked Jimmy Carr once, like, what the shortcut was to getting better at comedy, and he said, just gig, 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 gig. And he was absolutely right. It's all you can do to get better is to as many gigs as humanly possible. That was good advice. Bad advice? I have been given some bad advice over the years. Well, I tell you the advice that almost everyone I know in Canadian comedy around the world, from Montreal, UK, living in the States, the advice they all gave me was absolutely do not move to New Brunswick. You will never, ever, ever be able to continue doing stand-up there. And I overcame that, Charlotte, my dear friend, by not listening to them. Who is my favourite all-time Canadian comedian? All-time John Candy. Current would be Derek Sagan or Rick Mercer, Jonathan Torrens. What's my worst or weirdest Kijiji marketplace encounter so far? What's your end? Okay, here's the first one. I tell you what, I first moved into my house 10 years ago. There was a chain link fence outside. Not having ever owned a garden or a fence or anything in my life before, I did not know what chain link fences are worth. Stupidly put it up on Kijiji for a measly 2 £100 when I believe it's worth thousands. And the onslaught of people that arrived and started having punch-ups in the garden, arguing over whose it was and who had the rightful stake on it, was unbelievable. You would think we lived in a lawless land. Punch-ups going off out back, absolute madness. And my wife still hasn't forgiven me for that waste of hundreds of dollars. John Patrick McCleave has also asked, what's your guess on how many weeks of podcast before you start off the show with a note from our sponsors and try and sell you a foam mattress or shaver? Hopefully, John Patrick, very bloody soon. Because got to make a living somehow. Speaking of which, Richard, who is the founder of the amazing Sirius comedy site, would you do a show at a naturist camp like other Canadian comics have? Absolutely. In a heartbeat, without question, I would do a gig in a naturist camp. It would be so weird to go to a nature camp in the Maritimes because you would definitely see people you know. And that would be interesting. Derek played well. How are you doing, Derek? How has New Brunswick changed or altered your sex life? I guess it was, as I say, it's more regular. And thanks to New Brunswick, it is also now safe due to the wonders of your vasectomy system. Okay, I'll race these last few questions. And I just want you to sincerely thank you all so much for being here for these kind messages. It's been a roller coaster week. And Sean Carter, my friend, what has been the one thing since living in New Brunswick makes perfect sense to you and the one thing that confuses you most? The one thing that makes perfect sense to me is us being here and people moving here and people starting a new life. The one thing that confuses me most is how no one from here seems to realize why that might be such a bloody brilliant thing to do. And it also confuses me that I would have killed to have these the amazing walking trails that we have here in New Brunswick, back in England. And whenever I go on these walking trails, wherever I am, Ross Aquis, Pam, Irving Nature Trail, Rockwood Park, I never see anyone. There's no one there. Where is everyone? What is everyone doing? What? There's a question for you guys. What is everyone doing? I walk around, I don't see anyone. We're going to end with a couple of serious ones. Krista Lee Dion, thank you for sharing this. Krista is newly separated from her husband of 12 years. She was told to try Tinder. One guy wanted to come to my house like a day after I started talking to him, and I said, no way. Turns out he's a known con artist with his face plastered all over Facebook. Then I started talking to another guy who told me to add him to Snapchat, which I have but never use, and I did, and instantly received unsolicited dick pics. Why? Why are men like this? My question is, are there any men left out there that are honest, respectful and don't cheat and treat their women well? And is there any chance of finding one at 46 years old and a little on the chubby side? Lol. Well, obviously I wouldn't say that. And there's no such thing as, why would anyone have a problem with anyone being chubby? Most beautiful thing in the world. So 46, you're super young. I say that as a 46-year-old. I get and I understand and I ascertain and I can see that the dating game is tough at 46, especially here in New Brunswick and the Maritimes, I would say, where people do tend to, you know, they marry their childhood sweethearts and then, my God, they stick it out, don't they? They stick it out / drag it out. In the UK, there's a lot more, and I guess in other places, maybe possibly the same, a lot more people divorced in their 40s. So there's a lot more to choose from. But to answer your question, why the hell are men like that? It is absolutely, I agree, horrific. Unsolicited dick pics, that is tantamount to, you know, flashing at someone. It's sexual assault. And yeah, there are men out there that are honest, respectful and don't cheat and treat their women well. They do exist. They're out there. But unfortunately, there's no getting past the fact there is a shitload of absolutely deplorable, reprehensible men who behave like absolute monsters. And unfortunately, that is not going to change. Some of them might seem on the surface. Some of those deplorable men are out there doing those terrible things. Some of them are Well, it seemed perfectly nice, but aren't. It's a damn shame. And not to say, you know, again, not being Mr. Blind feminist, and you know, everyone's there's I don't want to sound like Donald Trump. There's good and bad on both sides. I don't want to be that guy, but yeah, men, animals. I couldn't agree more, Krista. Any one of these men would be very lucky to have you, and I hope that one of these very lucky men does get to do so. Tinder does sound like a bloody nightmare. Snapchat is a bloody nightmare. And I cannot believe that that has been happening to you. Angela has also shared with Krista some of her online dating nightmares. She puts it beautifully. She's a 44-year-old widow who stuck her toe into the dating pool only to realise it's mostly full of pee. It's like someone drops you in the middle of the dump and says, go hunt, find the least broken and disgusting thing and take it home. That's a perfect analogy. Men, stop being such ruddy, dirty, ruddy animals. I mean, just Jesus. Angela, I've just learned to save one pic of a ween, and the next dude who sends me one, I text back, oh, that just made me hot, and attach the picture. The trash takes itself out. That's a good one. Yeah. Angela, if you need help, anyone out there, Krista is now already educated in the Angela Orban orbit. But anyone else needs help, follow Angela. Sarah Butland, she says how her she's a wonderful and fantastic novelist. Her character Annabelle found love in a decent man in Losing It at 40. Embrace the idiots and tell you what you don't want. Yeah. Stephen Clarke, the great Stephen Clarke, the F word, legend. Mr. Mullinger, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you have an accent when you speak. Some accents are very regional and some less so. What kind of accent do you have? If you had to describe it, do you notice many different accents in parts of NB? Do Johnners have a different accent than Fredericktonians? No, I don't notice a difference. I don't really notice much of a difference across Canada, to be honest, obviously other than Newfoundland, Labrador. My accent is quite hard to place because it really is. It's not posh, but then it's also not posh. And I think even when I was a teenager, people found it hard to pinpoint my accent. It's not as regional as most. Lisa Gale, well, you might have to have part of the podcast. Oh, nice. Did anyone try calling you Jim or Jimmy over this? They have. Every now and again that happens here. A few people have said, you've got to be Jimmy. Marshall Button said that. Marshall Button said to me, if you want to be a comedian here, you've got to be Jimmy. Jimmy, yeah, people have tried calling me Jim and Jimmy. Doesn't stick. Jay Howitzer, do I ever sit back when I poo or do I always lean forward? Let me try that. I think I always lean forward. Why? How do you know how I poo? Have you been caught on a WhatsApp exchange with me and Ethan Ash? Oh, follow up toilet paper or bidet? Always toilet paper, bidet, disgusting. If you do, put in the same thing. What's the wildest party you've ever been to and why? Wow, Lisa Weir, my good friend, the amazing mother of Kennedy. What's the wildest party I've ever been to? That, you know what? That is going to be our cliffhanger. There's a few. Shelby Lowry has rightly commented, oh, I'd love to hear this one. Oh, I think I already know the answer. She's definitely been to some of them. I do have some very wild, oh, I think Shelby knows which story that involves. It might involve me waking up to find myself being pleasured by a gentleman I wasn't expecting to be there. That's one story. I'm going to leave this as the cliffhanger. Next week, we will start with what is the wildest party I've ever been to and why. Shelby's been to some of those. Not the one I just referenced, just to be clear, that was in London about 20-something years ago. But yeah, next week I'll do that. So it's loads more questions from Ethan, Kelly Etheridge. tons and tons of more questions, but we don't have time for this week. So in the meantime, thank you for listening to Mullinger's Weekly Ramble. Thank you for listening to me ramble on. Thank you for all the amazing questions. Do send more questions because I will answer those ones, including the outline of the wildest party I ever went to. No holds barred. You're going to hear exactly what went down. In the meantime, I will be rambling. I will be in Montreal. I'll be in Florenceville, Bristol. I'll be seeing Candice Bushnell. And I will see you next Wednesday. And all that leaves me to say is, I have a show coming up at the Scott McAuley Performing Arts Centre in Summerside, PEI. Saturday, 13th of April, I'll be honest with you, I need your help. Tickets aren't shifting. I don't know what it is. I have done a few shows in PEI recently. Maybe they're all sick of me. I don't know. Every other show pretty much on the tour is either sold out or close to selling out. Even stuff in like 6 months is like selling like ridiculously fast. But for some reason, the Scott McAuley Performing Arts Centre at the beautiful College of Piping in Somerset PEI is almost, we sold maybe a quarter of the tickets. So anyway, please tell your friends, if you know any friends on PEI, tell them to come and see. Saturday, 13th of April. Special guest opening out to be the amazing Catherine Cairns. And I'll be busy right now working on my big presentation for Florenceville Bristol next week, the solo eclipse with me and Chris Hadfield, and then my big show next week in Summerside, and the Maple Leafs and Candice Bushnell. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Now I really am bloody rambling. Keep the questions coming. I love you very much. And please know, I really, really appreciate everything. And sorry, there's some very, very moving questions coming up that I did not get to, but I will be answering next week. Thank you very much. Enjoy your week. Keep, if you like this bollocks that I'm rambling about, please leave a review. And go and check out the Good Stuff with Mary Burke, the Good Stuff with Mary Burke show from Monday, and then check out Canadian Politics is Boring podcast. Thanks a lot. See you soon. Bye. Bye.
Mullinger's Weekly Ramble.